Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
We are so thankful that you're here. And guys, truly before God, humbled that you are here. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. These guys have accomplished, I believe that sitting on the stage right now in terms of accomplishments from the standards of what you can accomplish in this world, probably as much as any five people that you could possibly have up here. So thank you for coming and being willing to share. I want to ask you a question just straight out the gate, and that's this. In terms of who influenced you? Like, who was it that you, if you had to go back besides my parents and my spouse, you know, who would it be that I would say was the most influential in me becoming everything that I believe that I was intended to become?
For me, it's almost impossible to not focus on my mom and dad. And my dad was born in Italy. He came to this country when he was 11. He never finished eighth grade. He sold bananas and apples in the Bronx his entire life. My mom was born in Ireland and came here to marry my dad, and she never finished high school. So I was the oldest of five. We grew up in the Dyckman Street section in New York, which is a gang area. And my father, one of the things that helped keep us off the street was we were expected to work in the fruit store. And I had an opportunity. I worked for my dad from the time I was 10 to the time I was 22. And I had an opportunity to watch and observe how he kind of ran the store. Now, this was about, he had three people or so working for him, but my dad, as much as I love my dad, he died a few years ago of Alzheimer's. My dad, the glass was always half empty for my dad. And whenever things went wrong, it was always somebody else's fault. And when he got upset, he wanted to try to figure it all out himself. And I learned, as much as I love my dad, and he was an incredibly hard worker, and he wanted to do well, and he did a good job of taking care of his family. But as much as I love my dad, I learned so much about leadership in terms of what not to do for my dad. Yeah. My mom, on the other hand, again, nobody from her family ever came over here, so she was the only person on this side of the ocean. And she lived for the five of us, and she was the exact opposite. Yeah. She could not, I don't ever remember my mom not having a smile on her face. She loved us unconditionally. Yeah. She went out of her way to support us. Yeah. For each of us, she was our best friend. So on one hand, I think there's a personality, there's a sense of humor, there's a wit, and there's an optimism and love that exuded from my mom. And dad loved us, but it was a little bit the opposite of that. And I learned, frankly, the most of my life is I learned from both of those.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
For me, it was my grandmother. And my grandmother prophesying over my life. And prophesying over my life when I didn't have the confidence. And she was speaking life into me. And that life that she was speaking into me was that you're gonna be something one day.
Yeah.
You're gonna do something great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Grandma, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? Yeah. She's like, Reggie, put those affirmations down that I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because I see it in you.
Yeah.
And you just have to do the work.
Yeah.
And so she just kept prophesying, kept prophesying, kept prophesying. And those things, you know, it's not about me, but the beauty that I'm able to give as much as I give is the most beautiful thing. That everything that I do is all about my grandmother.
Yeah.
And so that living legacy within me that she gave me is what I'm trying to give to the world. So beautiful. It's such a beautiful thing.
Beautiful, man. Awesome. Yeah.
I think I was always taught that you separate personal and professional. So the personal had to be my mom and dad and our family in Tampa, Florida. My dad was Sicilian, born in Sicily. My mother was born in Spain. So we lived in Tampa. We had extended family. So I grew up surrounded by a lot of affection, a lot of support. Do it right or don't do it. Take responsibility and care for people. You know, don't abuse any opportunity that you have. Professionally, I have to, I used to say, qualify one of the comments you made, because you said phenomenal athlete, and I was never accused of being a phenomenal athlete. So But I did manage for a long time, and professionally, as a leader, there were three men among, I asked questions from everybody forever, but the three men in baseball started with Sparky Anderson.
Yeah.
Sparky Anderson was a great mentor, any young guy that wanted to learn the game.
Yeah.
And he would really talk about leadership and the integrity of how your team should compete.
Yeah.
Sportsmanship, you do your best, the other team beats you, you tip your cap,
yeah.
you win, and you feel good about it.
Yeah.
George Kissel is a phenomenal, he's passed away, but he's a phenomenal teacher to many, to thousands of people that came into Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And he had a real simple formula. When I first started, I was a player coach in 1977, and I started managing. And he had a term where he said, love it and learn it. And I said, what does that mean, George? He said, well, if you want to get into coaching, if you don't love the game, then don't get into it.
Yeah.
He says, because if you love the game, you're going to want to learn about it. That's part of what you teach. That's how you lead. You have to learn. There's a lot to learn, a lot of nuances of baseball. He says, and what you're going to find is that the more you learn, the more you're going to love it.
Yeah.
And over the time, to this day, in fact, I listened to Joe yesterday talk about leadership, and I thought, you know, I wish I was still managing because I'd apply three of the priorities that he described. So George Kissel, that was very, very important. You got to learn your profession.
Yeah.
And the more you learn, the more you love it.
Yeah.
The more you love it, the more you want to learn. It's just a wonderful cycle.
Yeah.
And last but not least, I spent the last 16 years with the St. Louis Cardinals with a great man named Red Shaendies.
Yeah, Red Shaendies. Yeah.
And when I first got there, I asked Red, you know, I knew the tradition of the Cardinals. I'd had my time in American League and say with Sparky and some of the other guys, but there's something magical about the Cardinals. I said, Red, what's the magic? He said, well, there's really no magic. It's really pretty basic. If you put this uniform on, it has to represent a true team, true family.
Yeah.
So you're the major league manager. You have to lead our major league club in the first thing you do before you ever talk about playing the game, you have to come together as a family. And he explained to me that was bonds were built on earning each other's respect, earning each other's trust, and making sure that you demonstrate that you cared for each member of the team and the outcome of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So with that foundation, respect, family, and trust, then you go out and play the game. And my career, I've realized, and to this day, I think leadership is more, I don't care what you do, whether it's your leadership of your family or your business, if you have a chance to influence and impact people, you start with the values of respect, trust, and caring.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Well, for me, it's very simple. I grew up in a small town, a little southwest of here called Earhart, South Carolina. It's a farming community. And simply, my father was the greatest influence of my life, both professionally and spiritually.
Yeah.
My father had one rule that I lived by, and that was, it's funny, but it's very simple. It is, you can't give anything good away, because God will repay you double.
Yeah.
And I live by that rule today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it hasn't failed me. It has not failed me. We go around the country playing baseball, and we know we are victims of result oriented. Man, we celebrate victories, but he taught me to celebrate the promise of the victory.
Yeah.
You know that's it's there. You may not see it today, but you just do your best every day and let God handle the rest. And that's not always easy in our profession. It's not always easy.
Yeah.
But I found a way to accept that, and my life is very simple because of it, and I want to keep it that way.
That's beautiful. Beautiful, man. Yeah.
I grew up in Puerto Rico from the projects. Very rough upbringing. And it was very difficult. I grew up with no mom and basically know that. And my sister is everything to me. You know, she was sexually abused by my father, and you know, that's, she's been the reason why I don't go back to the drugs, or I'm not snitch, but I can't, you know. But you know, we all have that one person that pushes us, and she's been that to me.
Yeah.
You know, all my career.
Yeah.
Multiple times, I almost left the game and personal reasons, and she's been the one who always inspired me and pushed me.
Man,
so
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Tony, if I were to go through the resumes, I mean, it would take an hour to just tell you what God has done in and through the lives of these guys. But when I think about, you know, from being TD Ameritrade, being CEO of TD Ameritrade, continuing as chairman there, coming to win a Big South championship in football, just there's so much. And then, you know, down this line, what you guys have accomplished is just mind-boggling. But all of it has to do with your influence on other people is what ultimately makes the difference. You know, using what you've achieved for influence, but also influencing in your leadership position. And what we would all want to learn is this. Like, honestly, as I'm looking at you guys and what you've done, I think, well, I'm just not on that level. But at the same time, there's also this thing that says, I can learn something from you. And when you talked about the respect, the trust, the caring, you said there are three things that I believe are central to leadership, you know, and central to building that team. What I'd really like from you guys is if you could give us something, you could say, if you want to be an influence, if you want your influence to make the greatest difference, what are those one, two, possibly three things that you would say, this is essential to you making that influence?
I've been coaching football for over two decades, and I've been in the business world for over two decades. I raised three boys and three girls. And one of the things that I have found is most of our kids tend to grow up with a sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
They get taken care of. They do something they're not supposed to do. They don't suffer the consequences of their actions. So from the very, very beginning, I became a father when I was 19. And from the very, very beginning, I thought, you know, what is it that we might be able to do philosophically and then put into action a guideline or a standard that has influences over, whether it be my family or people that I work with or people that are involved with my teams, et cetera. And that was, this is written down on my very first playbook in 1971. It's more about the game. You want to work hard in the game. And by the way, you got to win. If we don't win, I'm going to get fired. But it's still a game. And I think sometimes football coaches make a big deal about football's just like life. And you get that right, everything else follows. When we recruit, we talk to our guys, we actually say, how sad is it to get the football piece right and screw up the life piece?
Yeah.
So the way to go about that, if you really want to separate yourself as a leader, as a girl becomes a woman, as a boy becomes a man, it's about standing on your own two feet, taking responsibility for yourself, treating others with dignity and respect, and you're going to live with the consequences of your actions. Now, any place I've ever been, that has been the mantra.
Yeah.
That's the way we raised our girls and boys. That's the way I've coached. That's what I expect from my staff. That's what I expect from my leadership teams on Wall Street.
Yeah.
When you think about that, any great leader, it's not about him or it's not about her. It's about his or her people. And the ability to be able to influence those is going to determine whether or not they're going to be productive, they're going to be self-fulfilled. If they're productive and self-fulfilled, the chance of you being successful is going to be far greater.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Coastal, and I've got about 130 guys on our team, we've got another 25 guys or so on our staff, but the one unique quality about that, they happen to be all male. So for us at Coastal, we're probably the only team in the nation that doesn't have any rules, but that's the one standard we have. If we recruit you, it's about this. If you're part of the team, it's about this. If you're a coach, it's about this. If you're a manager, it's about this. Stand on your own 2 feet, take responsibility for yourself, treat others with dignity and respect, you're gonna live with the consequences of your actions. Be a man, and for us, that's BAM. Yeah. Now, remember, that's not some macho, tough guy thing. It's just that we're only dealing with males on our campus with regard to football. Yeah. So BAM is in our stadium, it's in our practice fields, on the back of our helmets, and it's every office, it's in the locker room. We would not, if we make a mistake on a guy when we recruit him and he's not that good a player, that's on us because we haven't done a good enough job evaluating him. Yeah. But the one thing we would dismiss a guy from the team for is if he doesn't live up to BAM, if he doesn't treat other people with dignity and respect. That, I think, has such an incredible influence in others, because once you start saying, it's somebody, it's the weather, it's the teacher, my mom's in a bad mood. Once you start to talk, the official made a bad call. Once you start to do that, you're not taking responsibility for yourself. You dismiss that psychologically, and that influences the people around you. But I think that would be the one true leadership concept that I've believed in all my life, that I know for a fact really, really works. Yeah. And the influence on others, treat people with dignity and respect as part of that, yeah, has been incredible over time.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Good work.
I would say for me, my three pillars. The first one is faith, the second one is family, and the third one is service.
Yeah.
So the faith piece is, there was, I think it was Kansas City. Yeah, it was Kansas City. Actually, there were many moments, but I'll just give the Kansas City one. So I signed with Kansas City. They were losing 100 games for the last 10 years. And I left since St. Louis Cardinals, didn't get a contract.
I was general manager. I really wanted you bad.
So I had to go to Kansas City, and so I wanted that challenge, and I wanted that challenge because I felt that I could help the team in a meaningful way on all levels. And I had gotten there, things were going amazing, and I think it was about the middle of the season, we just continued to lose games, and just things wasn't happening well. And then, so I was hitting fourth in the lineup, and the pressure of that just continued to just mount. And it mounted so badly to where I just didn't want to go to the ballpark anymore. I mean, literally, I never told my wife this, but I circled the stadium like 5 times. Like, I really do not want to be here. And there was one moment where, and I think I've shared this with you. There was one moment, I was like, there was a guardrail, and I was like, why am I here? Like, why am I?
Yeah.
There was a guardrail.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is liberating for somebody. I don't know why I'm crying, but this must be liberating for somebody, so I'm here for this.
Yeah.
But, so there was a guardrail. And I really wanted to hit that guardrail.
Yeah, yeah, bro.
Yeah. I'm just like, Lord, why am I here? Why am I feeling those feelings? Or why is that pressure mounting?
Yeah.
And so I took a breath and gathered myself together and got on my knees. I literally got out of the car, on my knees, cars passing, actually going to the ballpark, passing, and I'm on my knees and just praying to God, like, you know, just give me the strength, the faith, the wisdom to do, you know, what it is you call for me to do.
Yeah.
And so I got the strength enough to, you know, walk into the ballpark and continue my journey to keep moving. And so I share that because it is important to understand the work that it takes for us to get to where we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's you see the success that we all have, but it is extremely hard to continue to grind and to work and to put in the hours that it takes for us to be successful. Yeah. And the faith that my grandmother
prophesying over my life was the strength that, that gave me that ability to fight through that.
Awesome.
So faith is number one.
Yeah.
Then family. Family is everything that, from my mom, my brother, to my dad, who had passed away as well, and then my family that's sitting here on the front row. As a father, it is the most important job in the world. And I have girls. I have four girls. And the world that we live in today is becoming more and more trying for our young kids. And they need strong parents that will tell them the truth.
Yeah.
And whether that truth is good or bad, whatever it is, I think it's our duty to make sure that we give them the truth.
Yeah.
And we all make mistakes, we all do whatever. But as long as we do it in a loving way and a way that inspires them to be who they are, and we make sure that we don't try to put our own stipulations on them. So family is everything, and I love you guys. Then the third piece would be service. And that service stems from my brother Demetrius, who has autism, and has been battling this disease for 37 years. And it's been a long road, and it's a continual road. And everything that I do when it comes to service is all about him and the families that we serve. And when I came back to Myrtle Beach, I wanted to do whatever I could do for this community, because I'm from Florence, and I love this community. We're in this community, and what we have been able to create in the amount of time that I've been here has been absolutely amazing. It's been absolutely godsend. And the work that you guys have really joined us in on has been overwhelming. And it's been overwhelming because I believe that you guys understand that the purpose of our lives is to share, to give value, and to make sure we take care of our neighbors.
Yeah.
And the neighbors that I believe, you know, we were talking the other day about, you know, this generation and how people don't take care of people anymore. I see differently. This community is a Bible-based community that cares about people. And so when I knew when I came back to this community and brought my family, I knew that this was the right community for our family. So the service piece is very near and dear to my heart. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, you keep learning. I can remember the year that Reggie was gone. I had the spring training meeting, and I said, Reggie, and he wasn't there. I said, where did Reggie go? He said, he went to Kansas City. I said, why? I mean, I thought he was going to be in the club. I wanted him there. No, it's cruel business, but seriously, and he mentioned it, the way young people, in fact, Joe did the same thing, the way young people have come into their lives, it's been a while now, times have really changed. It's like good news, bad news. Good news is there's wonderful machines and access to information. Bad news has gotten very, very cold and distant. There's a lot of entitlements, lack of accountability, all that stuff. So my point is that values have been distorted. And I can remember my dad always told me, he said, the more confused you get, the simpler you keep it. And the simple thing is that values are at the basis of our lives, whether it's personal or professional.
Yeah.
And you don't give in to the realities of the modern world. You know, where family are diminished, and it's all about what can you do for me, you know, me, and baseball. I need my innings, I need my at-bats, because I want to make some money, and you're playing for a team. So I think the most important point that I would mention today is that leadership is more important than ever.
Yeah.
It is critical, whether you're the leader of your family, a leader in the community, leader of in the business world. It's not something that's getting taken care of some other place. In fact, years ago, when life was simpler, whoever was the boss had instant respect. And you grew up with a lot of, I'm going to do the right thing, and because that's how you were raised, you didn't think about yourself as much. So if the boss said, hey, go out that door, yes, sir. And if you didn't, you knew you were going to be in trouble, maybe not survive. Well, nowadays, you have to, however you lead, and you tell them what's that door. You better explain why choosing a door is important. And so one of the essences of leadership is make sure you clearly spell out what it is that you're wanting to do, why it's important, and then you got to give them the most important why. You got to give them how to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's,
yeah.
If you got a baseball team, which is, you know, I was in kind of that cocoon for a lot of years, and my family, I was, basically my life was a family, and both families, what you wanted to do was you wanted to create that family culture.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? It's a very difficult way to lead because it's very time-consuming. You just can't send out an email or post a memo.
Yeah.
You have to establish the key word, which is relationship.
Oh.
You have to establish a relationship with your people,
yeah.
With the people that you're with.
Yeah.
And what do? I want to show them that I'm working on their respect, that they can trust me, and that I care for them.
Yeah.
So it's relationship-based, and here's the key. The only way you do that is to personalize your style leadership. You can't do it from afar. You have to go as often as you can and connect with each and every person so that you build that relationship. And from that, everything happens. So just a quick example. When we had a team, if there was a player, for example, that had a real strong family connection personally, then all we were concerned about was make sure he translates into the team family concept. But a lot of times you run into guys who had a lot of issues personally. So in part of your leadership style as the coaching staff and the organization, the manager, we let them know that, I mean, I care about you personally. If there's anything that I can do or we can do to help you as a person, not just a professional.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I've had guys that told me, you know, my dad is really hard on me. He never ever says that I do something nice. You're more a father to me than my dad is. You know, and you think, hey, I'll be that, but you know, that's not really the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So I guess my point is personalization, relationship building is the key to leadership.
Yeah.
And the PS to that is don't ever ask somebody to do something that you're not willing to do yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You start by personalizing your own commitment. Tell you a very corny truth. You know, I managed 5,000 games. There wasn't one game that I didn't start out before I left the office. I look in the mirror and I said, when the game is over, I do not want to be embarrassed to look at the face in that mirror.
Wow.
Which meant that whole game, I was going to do the very best I could with my responsibility because I wanted to personalize. And I felt like if the players see that I'm totally engaged and as I'm asking them to be for our team, then it's consistent. So when the game was over, man, if I ever felt like I had half stepped for an inning, I was going to beat myself up more than anybody could. So I believe personalizing and getting back to as many basics and creating relationships is the key to our lives and improving some of the distortions of values that we all have to face in today's world. Man.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, well, for me, it's my life was a little more complicated. As you know, I grew up here, you know, in the South, and there are a couple things that I can tell you that really was instrumental for me in being somewhat successful. And the one thing is, it's an old saying: "You do you. You do you." God created all of us equal, but we're still unique. It means our situations are all unique, and we have to do that. We have to not be afraid of change.
Yeah.
And I think that what hinders us a lot of time is that we're afraid to get out of our comfort zone. You know, so we're accustomed to doing things that's easy. We don't want to push the envelope, for lack of a better term. And a quick story, a lot of people know it. Some of you may not know it. I was willing to change. You have to have the attitude for change. Back in 1977, I did something that was unheard of in my community. I was the first African-American to play baseball at the University of South Carolina.
Wow.
At the first, you know. Now, against all odds and against all the advice I got from family and friends, not to go there. Yeah. For some reason, I decided to go to the University of South Carolina. That wasn't my plan, but that's why I ended up going to University of South Carolina. And it was probably the greatest experience I've had because it gave me to see a different side of the world, different from what I was accustomed to see. And so for that, I say you can't be afraid to do something that is not comfortable. You have to be discomfort. When you always stay comfortable, we keep doing the same thing. It's like, say we did a revolving door. Same thing over and over and over again, you know. The last thing, and I you have to really bear with me because I'll start preaching up here in a second. So I was
I love it.
You know, and the last thing that I will tell you is, as a Christian, we have to be more than believers. And the people say, well, what's the difference? But see, we're so accustomed to using belief and faith as the same, and they're not the same. They're different. Belief simply means you confirm that something is possible. But when you have faith, then you trust that that is going to happen regardless of whether it happens immediately or not. So it's a difference in the two. So don't walk around saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. No, let's show it. You know, you have to show it so you trust in the change. All right? Yeah. So, you know, so this is the things that has helped me through my career. You know, because I've had to do a lot of things that was against all odds. But there's something inside that says, you do you.
Yeah.
You do you.
Yeah.
You know, and trust God to guide you along the way. A lot of times you're going to think you don't know what's going to happen at the end, but if you feel within yourself that this is what you need to do, regardless of what the numbers say, and we talked about the numbers, but God, regardless of what the numbers say, this is what I feel comfortable doing. This is what's going to make me happy. Don't let your happiness be determined by what someone else is doing. Someone else's success is not a barometer of your happiness. Your happiness is unique to live. All right.
Felipe.
This is kind of hard because they said it all, but I think as for me, as a leader, we create out of what's inside of us. You know, if you're a rotten person, you're going to create rotten things. And, you know, you have to know who you are.
Yeah.
We also need to know there was only one perfect leader in the whole entire existence, and that's Jesus.
Yes.
And the sooner we get to understand that and that we are going to fall down along the way, we need to stand right back up and keep fighting. What drives you? What's that fire inside? What's your purpose? You know, if your inside is rotten, how are you gonna be aligned with your purpose? You know, my whole career, I was a pretty gifted player. I think that's self-speaking. Maybe they can agree.
Yeah, right.
But you know. Looking back at my career and what I could have done differently to impact millions of people, you know, if I can go back, it would be totally different, you know?
Yeah.
So, wow. You know, we can't waste any time in this world, you know, we yeah. can't get time back.
Yeah. Felipe, what would you do differently? Like if you had it to do over again, you know, the influence that you wish you had, what would it be?
I think the only thing is that I was a hard worker. I yeah. loved the game. My problem was more off the field.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what I would change. Just yeah. How respect the game.
Oh,
you know, respect awesome. What you do.
Yes.
We work so hard.
Yes.
To get to the big leagues. It's even harder to stay there.
Yeah.
You're competing with top class players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And year after year, you have to get better at something.
Yeah.
And I think as leaders in life, we can't get content with just, okay, I'm doing this good. Just always trying to do something better. You know, at the end of the season, I used to look at where I could improve
yeah.
in my game.
Yeah.
And I think we could do that in life yeah. also.
Oh, love it. Yeah. Good word. Right. Yeah. Good word. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just like, I'm wishing we had 3 hours. I mean, I really mean this. It's so powerful. And it was interesting, Felipe was saying that the ultimate leader is Jesus. And when I was listening to you guys, I was listening to every leadership principle you brought was originally from Jesus. You know, and when Joe is saying, take personal responsibility, you're gonna take responsibility for your own actions. It was interesting that the Lord spoke through Paul in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, and it says, verses 9 and 10, but he says, you know, don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. You know, I mean, you're gonna end up reaping what you sow in that sense. That's powerful. But also, when you're talking about treating people with respect and dignity, you know, back to Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." And I love the fact that you're saying, "Hey, man, it's like we don't have a whole bunch of rules." And what was cool is Jesus said concerning that one rule. He said, "Everything in the Bible is summed up in that one rule." He says, do to others what you'd have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets, everything written in the Bible. And so that's cool that you're leading with that kind of simplicity, you know what I'm saying, and drawing it back to a principle that Jesus had. And then, Tony, when you were talking about, you know, that whole idea of it all being about relationships and, you know, the whole concept of caring. And it blows my mind when I think about it. Guys, I don't know if you realize, again, when I talk about accomplishments, to imagine being, you know, and I guess around 86 when you're dismissed from the White Sox, and then the next thing that
you didn't have to bring that up.
I know. I didn't have to bring that up.
Just one thing to be clarified. It's not that you get classes over and you got dismissed.
Fired. but then fired there and then go on to the A's and then go to, you know, go on to win 3, you know, championships and one of those is a World Series, and then go on to the National League and win again 3 for the National League and win 2 more. You know, it's just amazing all that. But I'm looking at accomplishment on a remarkable level. But what you're saying is it meant caring about what's happening in the life of individual people. It wasn't about, I want to achieve greatness, so let me be behind a door somewhere mapping out how to conquer the world. But it's about caring. Man, you blew me away with that statement. And again, that goes back to the heart that Jesus talked about. You know, he said when he was asked again, you know, Jesus, everybody's looking at him. All right, give us that one thing. Give us that one thing. You know, what's the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:37-40, he answers by saying, it's to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he goes back to that, said that same thing. He says, this really summarizes everything that we're called to do. And I'm going like, how in the world did God bless you with the success that he gave you? And somehow that powerful principle of God's truth just landed right in the center of your leadership. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. And when you're talking, Reggie, about the whole idea of serving and that being so important, y'all, Jesus, the Son of God, when everybody's all about, you know, I want to get mine, you know what I'm saying, and I want to get the respect that's due me, and who's going to be the greatest, and they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And Mark 10, Is you know that those who are rulers of the Gentiles or the people in the world rule it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. I'm going like, you look at what you consider greatness, and Jesus is saying greatness goes back to serving. And I'm looking at Luke, man. I've never recognized ever a politician in our church, and we've had lots. But Luke Rankin's here, and I was thinking about, give a hand for that. But y'all, I was looking at Luke, and this is why I knew Luke when we were in high school. And one thing about this man is he cared about people. I mean, how do you become a senator, you know? Reality is Luke cared about people, and he still cares about people. And you can just meet him and look in his eyes and see he cares about people. Anyway, I'm just kind of blown away by this because it's so much of what comes back to what Jesus has called us to do. And so I'm going to do one thing. We only got 5 minutes, so it's only going to be literally 1 minute apiece. I just want to ask you this one question. What did I wish I'd done different? What's the one thing I learned that I changed? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's my one thing that I would go back and do it differently if I could do it differently, or one thing that I learned that kind of made a difference? And let's just pop it off. Whoever's first, whoever knows what your one thing is.
Start?
Yes.
When I started managing as a member of Bad Player and I had a chance to stay in the majors as a manager, the biggest mistake I made for the first 10 or 12 years was that I got so totally consumed with the love of baseball and trying to survive as a manager that I took way too much time away from my responsibilities as a parent and a husband. And go to the park early, stay late. When you're home, you're thinking about, and I have tremendous regrets. They have forgiven me. We have Elaine and I have two daughters, but I've never forgiven myself because if you put things in priority, it's, and I'm talking about family, it's your family and your baseball family, and of the two, your family, your blood family is much more important. So, you know, that is a regret that I've tried to correct over time.
Oh.
I mentioned to Reggie, I want to mention this if I take an extra minute.
Please, please.
Because
you're taking Reggie's minute, just saying.
That's good, man. I like that. I was going to say I was going to take Felipe's minute, too. Because we were teammates. Anyway. I know he was advertised that Bob Knight was going to be a part of this. And I've got a Bob Knight story, but I wanted to explain because Bob asked me to say it. About a week ago, he started not feeling well. He had been in spring training and doing well, and then when he went back to Lubbock through his wife, Karen, he just wasn't, I don't know what, if it's the flu or whatever, and he hesitated to make the long trip from Texas here. Didn't think it would be good for his health. So I want you to understand that Bob doesn't make commitments. If you know Bob, he commits to promise, and he's there.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it. So I'll tell you my story that if he was here, he would have said. It's his favorite baseball story. This really upsets him. So he would use Albert Pujols as an example because Albert does it. Albert would hit a home run, and he'd run around the base. Just as he got to the play, he went like this. And so Bob would tell him, when you're doing that and you're celebrating, I'm thinking, God just punished the pitcher. Because he's brilliant. He said, Coach, I wasn't thanking him for what I did. I was thanking him for the opportunity.
Oh.
And it's the only time I've ever seen Coach not come back with another answer.
Oh.
That's good.
Good work. Good work.
Oh, I guess I am next time. Okay. If I had to do it all over again, if I could go back and change, the first thing I would say that I've always been very close with family. And even when I played, my wife traveled with me.
Yeah.
I buy tickets, whatever. She was going.
Yeah.
You know, and she's been by my side through the thick and thin.
Awesome.
Through making the $4 a day meal money to, well, let's not get into all of that. That's a whole story right there. But if I had to do it all over again, I would have surrendered sooner.
Yeah.
I fought God for the longest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because baseball, yeah. I thought that was all I needed. Oh. That was all I needed until man decided they didn't need me anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish I had surrendered sooner to God's
good
will.
Good work. Okay, we're down to 1 minute, so who's going to take it?
You make me feel bad. Right?
Can we take 2 or 3 minutes? When I began my career, I was very, very much driven to be the best I could, but also I was driven to accomplish something special in my career. So I would often think about what's my next job going to be, what's my promotion going to be. And over time, I realized that it wasn't about me. It was about the people that I was serving. And in the business world, it was always about our clients, our shareholders, and our employees. In the football world, it was always about our players, our coaches, and our fans. And when I realized that everything I was doing was for the benefit of those constituents, I became far better leader because I was able to make much better decisions. Because it wasn't about me, it was about what we're trying to do for others and accomplish. And if I had learned that a little earlier in my career, you know, maybe I'd be coaching the New York Giants today instead of coaching the Atlanta.
That's awesome. And I tell you what, Joe, man, you just keep biblical principle after biblical principle. There's in Philippians in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and I give that just because our folks look it up and they just go there. But he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And so you're just like living that. It's just beautiful. I want to finish with this, and it's going to be like so high on your weird meter, it's going to blow you away. But I've been spending the last several days just kind of getting to know you guys, just reading and looking and thinking. And I was, Tony, you were walking out on the field, and something you don't know about each of you, every one of you have been paid amazing compliments. Tony, I was talking with Reggie, and he said, that man's been like a father to me. And he says he's blessed my life more than you can imagine. I was talking to somebody that works with you at Coastal, and when I was asking them about you, and they're a dear friend of mine, and they just said, he's genuinely one of the best men I've ever known. And they just love you, man. It's beautiful. And Reggie, when I was talking to the players, I just had players sitting there like Gary telling me, man, this guy cared about me when I was a newbie, and he was just building into my life, and he's made that difference. And then for Mookie and Felipe, I was asking Reggie, I said, would you tell me, out of the players that are around you, where have you seen Jesus just really lived out? You know what I'm saying? Where you know that person really is living it. Y'all know how religious people can make you sick sometimes?
Yeah.
You know? But who's somebody who's really living it? And he named you, you know, among a handful of people. He said, I really see it in him. So it's beautiful. But as we're going through that process, I'm just kind of growing, it sounds weird, but to like love you guys in a way. And it's, Tony, this is for you, is concerning you. I was sitting in the dugout last night when you were doing that game, and I saw you out there, and I saw your face. And I just saw the way you were looking and talking and the way you were just touching people's lives and everything. And it sounds strange, man, but I thought, one day you're not going to be here. One day you're going to die. And I thought the same for you, Joe, and I thought the same for all you guys. I thought, one day they're not going to, I mean, death is the great equalizer. We're all worm food, you know, ultimately. And no matter what we've done or where we are, and I'm like, the number one thing I want to know is that you know God created you forever, you know, and that's the most important influence that you'll ever have. And I think if I can influence people to win a World Series, or influence a person to be a better ball player, or influence somebody to invest their money well and be seated for retirement, those are great things. They're truly great things. But the greatest influence that you'll ever exercise is to influence somebody toward a relationship with a God that gave him, you know, that gave him life. You know, they'll have so much influence that you would see that as the most important influence that you ever exercise. And so can we give these guys a hand as they make their way down? Thank you. You guys can hit. If y'all don't mind, y'all can just sit down here out front. I want to say this, that when Tony was talking, I said he was taking Reggie's time. Tony, it's worse, man. You were taking God's time. Oh, Tony, when you said that about, and thank you for sharing that story from Bobby, because I want to tell you what happened in that moment is Bobby saw in a player that when he was doing that, it wasn't for show, and it wasn't to say I'm better than. It was to say I've got a God to whom I owe everything. Greatness here. And I want to talk to you about greatness. Just listen to this. It's an introduction. It wasn't done by me. It's something that has been shared over and over and over again. And it started with one pastor who just had this awareness. He said, I want to introduce you to a man who was actually born in and for 1 year. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never set his foot inside a large city. He never traveled 200 miles from the town where he was born. He did this in his life. He had no credentials but himself. When he was still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. All of his friends abandoned him. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial, and he was nailed to a cross between two criminals. While he was dying on that cross, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, which was his coat. After he was dead, he was taken down, and he was buried in a borrowed grave out of the pity of a friend. But then he rose. And he, after now 10 broad centuries have passed, is the centerpiece of civilization. He is at the very core of all true progress in this world and in this life. And I am within the mark to say that of all the navies that have ever sailed, who have ever ruled, put together, have not impacted the life of human beings on this earth as much as that one solitary life. And guys, if you don't know him, he's the one who spoke this 14 billion light year universe into existence. He's the one who knit you together in your mama's womb, and he can keep you going beyond your last breath. And we're going to spend the next 15 minutes just giving him what he deserves.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.